Music of Dvorak and music of Sibelius will be featured on a program entitled My Homeland that takes place at Midland Center for the Arts tomorrow evening. Concert time is at 7:30. All the information is at midlandcenter.org. The piece we just heard, along with Dvorak's Symphony No. 7, Opus 70, will surround the featured performance of the Sibelius Violin Concerto in D minor. Two guests joining us to preview that concert in studio here today as we welcome in music director and conductor of the MSO, Bohuslav Rutte, and a violin soloist enjoying the Michigan weather from L.A., her home, Simone Porter. Good to have both of you here. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hello.
Let us talk with you first, Maestro, about this concert, particularly titled My Homeland, and what the music of a composer from your homeland like Dvorak, how does this music continue to speak to you, to inspire you?
Well, it brings memories, definitely. You know, I grew up in Prague, Czech Republic. My first 22 years of my life were there, so I heard plenty of Dvorak back then. And your listeners just heard the national anthem, actually, over and over and over and over. Full 8 minutes of Czech national anthem. It was, Dvořák borrowed the tune from a composition which was composed in 1835. The overture is much later, and the symphony as well. It's 1885 or so. That was before he composed the Seventh Symphony, before he was in the United States. And I lived in the United States, and he was the director of the Conservatory of Music in New York City. And he borrowed the tune and turned it into his own typical Dvorak dance-like, kind of a singable tune that people can remember. It brings memories to do that piece, both of them, the symphony and the overture.
Would some say, or would you say personally, that he is the greatest musical hero of your homeland?
Oh, we had few. I mean, it really depends on your taste. You know, that we have Smetana also, right, who wrote Mávlast, which is that, again, yet another piece that kind of describes the lands of Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, whatever, Bohemia. And then we have a couple more. We have Janáček, which was extremely, he was Moravian, and wrote a lot of kind of the Slavic Moravian tunes. It's way different from Dvořák. And then we have one more, Martinu. So you can pick and kind of whatever floats your boat, whatever genre of music in the classical world you like.
Bohuslav Rutte is music director and conductor of the Midland Symphony Orchestra, the MSO, in concert tomorrow evening at 7:30, Midland Center for the Arts, midlandcenter.org for all the information. Dvorak's My Home Overture to open the program, and Dvorak's Symphony No. 7, Opus 70 to close. And another composer, certainly, who stirred the spirits and inspiration of his homeland in Finland, Sibelius, his Violin Concerto in D minor, Opus 47. And soloist Simone Porter joining us. Once you leave Midland, you will be performing the Brahms, and recently have performed the Barber, the Bruck, the Beethoven, Prokofiev, and Saint-Saëns concerti in this current season. Is that typical that you work up that many different pieces to feature, or are there stretches where your demands, either your preferences or programming with conductors and ensembles, where there is a focus on maybe a particular piece?
Yeah, in theory, when I'm programming a season, it's definitely, I go in, you know, with my managers, we have a whole strategy of, you know, this is going to be the repertoire focus of the season. And a lot of times that completely just, that's the ideal world. What actually ends up working out is, different places have different sorts of demands, etc. And you have to be flexible and pliable. So this month, in which I've done Beethoven, Barber, Bruck, now Sibelius, and then Brahms, I've never really done that many that are huge works, and some of which are more unfamiliar to me, that close together. So it's certainly been an adventure.
How often have you had the opportunity to perform the Sibelius up to now?
I've actually only done it once before.
Midland audience is in for a treat as you explore the musical territories of Sibelius then this Saturday. 2015, you were named a recipient of the Avery Fisher Career Grant, and You've worked with the New York Philharmonic, the Philadelphia Orchestra, the LA Philharmonic, many other ensembles. And also, back in May, the world premiere of a violin concerto by Alexander Pryor, along with these familiar pieces to the repertoire that we mentioned, the Barber, the Brook, Beethoven, and of course the Sibelius that you'll perform tomorrow night. How many opportunities to either commission or perform premier works of new composers?
That's, you know, playing new music, whether it's just recently composed or if it's a legitimate commission, is something that I haven't done that much up until now, but something that I would really like to do more and more in the future. Working with living composers is something I really, really value. The experiences I've had with it in the past have taught me so much and really transformed my approach to everything I play. So right now I'm commissioning a work from the composer Rena Esmail, who's also based in LA, for a recital in a couple years, and then that recital also incorporating more 21st century music, just because there's a sort of a freshness that comes playing something like Sibelius or Beethoven. You know, these pieces that I do a lot, there's interpretive baggage that often becomes invisible. I think, you know, growing up as a violinist, you just hear these pieces naturally hundreds and hundreds of times, often before you ever start them. So it almost becomes like a process of excavation in which I'm seeing what's actually in the music and what have I just heard a million times and have I absorbed through osmosis. So playing something that was unfamiliar to me, that, you know, maybe has no recordings or very few, or I just haven't really interacted with that much, required me to sort of interrogate the music with more vigor, and I really wanted to bring that similar freshness and that demand to myself in the repertoire that I was more familiar with.
For a work then like the Sibelius, the Concerto in D minor, whose baggage and have you had to excavate then? And what performances have stood out to you? And these are not necessarily, because I find in talking with folks that there's sometimes these performances or recordings that many people know, but sometimes even for an individual artist, it may be one that doesn't. Sometimes those lists line up, sometimes they don't. Who has been the influence or the performances that stand out to you that you have had to absorb and then come to the place where you're mm-hmm. finding your own voice in this work?
You know, I think the ones actually, I've heard Sibelius the most and almost been influenced the most by actually the performances of my colleagues. You know, going to schools and festivals, I heard it so much. The times I heard Sibelius the most were definitely hearing my classmates. And as I've gotten older, it's been fellow sort of young soloists whose interpretations inspire me so much and who I also had to sort of step back from a little bit just to find out what I felt that I could offer the piece. But it's the performances of my colleagues in Sibelius and really everything else are the ones that oftentimes inspire me the most, just because there's just such an unbelievable amount of talent and creativity that's just surrounding all the time.
Is it primarily orchestral work? Are you finding opportunities to perform and or potentially record in chamber settings? What is right now most predominant in your schedule?
Most predominant is right now, especially this season, is definitely concertos. Trying to put more of an emphasis on recital programs as well, just because it, you know, offers sort of an intimacy and an opportunity to craft things in a different way, which I would like. I would love to do more and more ensemble work in chamber. I adore it. It's just sort of a question of scheduling it in. But ultimately, the career I very much want is one that is well-rounded. So I'm hoping to carve that out in whatever balance allows.
And is this a first-time collaboration, or have the two of you crossed paths in other places?
We just met like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, brand new.
Brand new.
And rehearsal, obviously, then over the course of today and then for
tonight.
The performance tomorrow,
yeah.
Yes.
First time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then when it comes to, I suppose with modern technology, it's probably not the challenge that would have been in years past, but how do you, Maestro, become familiar with different soloists to then have the opportunity to broaden the experience for the orchestra and have a chance to work with a soloist like Simone for a first time like this?
You just wait for the day off and just do it. That's our life. I mean, it's, you know, we don't really have a chance to talk much about the piece. We will get together, but this afternoon
yes.
to talk about it a little bit, and then hop on stage and, you know, it's true with email, you can probably get in touch and ask for, you know, ask for the tempos ahead of time so you kind of know how to prepare for certain things. But it's a live experience. You just go up there and do it and, you know, kind of wait and see what happens.
The orchestra, then, how long have they been in preparation of the piece? And has there been any opportunity to hear any of Simone's work, either a sample of this particular piece or something else that they can at least be hearing in their own ear to know how they will complement and blend with her?
Well, as a conductor, I would hope that they have been in preparation for weeks by now. But together we got, for the first time on Wednesday night, we started rehearsing on Wednesday. Then last night we had a string sectional that we break up the orchestra and let the brass and winds and percussion go, and they do their own thing, and I'll spend time with the strings because they usually have more issues, you know, trying to figure out bowings, make sure that this note is short, long, so it sounds organized and together. Then Friday we get together usually with the soloist, like we will tonight with Simone, and then tomorrow dress rehearsal, and then the show. That's it. That's all the time we have.
A masterclass also brings you to not only the opportunity to talk with us, but to the CMU campus. How often do you get the opportunity to work in masterclass settings like the one today?
Pretty frequent. I think it's most places I go, usually, hopefully, there is an opportunity to interact with aspects of the musician community, wherever it is, whether there's a large university or like a private studio, or it's, you know, super young kids or whatever. It's something that I really enjoy and try to seek out wherever I go.
Is this the one opportunity, given the tight schedule, to have just this with the university students, or will there be anything over in Midland working with any younger performers? What does the itinerary hold for today?
I'm going over to the university right after this, and we have something tonight before the rehearsal that's in Midland as well. Okay. And I believe that's all. So unfortunately, just today, and then concert, and then out of here.
But plenty busy. Let's talk a little bit about the Dvorak Seventh. You mentioned, Maestro, the writing of the overture that we heard, and then the period when he was here in the States. With a composer like Dvorak, are his works compartmentalized, or and I don't mean that in a negative sense, but do we have a because the seventh, eighth, and ninth to me have that a certain feel, a certain style, a certain richness to them that for me as a listener elevates them even beyond the earlier symphonies, and that's not to diminish them but to elevate these. Are they seen in period type pieces or influences in his writing at any given time?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, I never performed the first five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're right. Most of the symphonies that you will hear, either live or being played on the radio, is 6, 7, 8, 9. Obviously, the ninth, the most important. Or not most important, but the most famous, I guess. Mm-hmm. I personally don't think it's his masterpiece. When you kind of study the score and actually perform the ninth from the New World, yeah, it's beautiful. Actually, Matt Travis and I had a couple conversations about the tune from the second movement, which is based on a spiritual going home, right? And it is said that yes, he used that particular tune and he changed one note. I'll let your listeners decide. Maybe they can dig in and go on Wikipedia and the internet to find out which note was changed, but. It's a beautiful work, but you know, it's, first of all, it's overplayed. It's played a lot. You can hear it all the time. You know, if you visit Prague and you land in Prague in the airport, and the moment the engines are shut from the speakers in the plane, you know, so you hear it everywhere. You come to a hotel and the elevator music is you know, it's all the time. So the symphony we are going to do on Saturday is from a little different cup of tea. It's probably his hardest one to play, not only because not everybody knows it well, you know, because it's not played the most, like the 8th or the 9th. It's also somewhat weirdly written for, it's almost unstring, unviolinistic, unviolistic, unceloistic, whatever you want. It's somewhat awkward to play. So, you know, players have, they have to put more effort into learning all the notes. So that complicates things a little bit too. It's not the one that is being played, like I said, every time. So most of the players maybe played it once or twice in their lifetime. So that also complicates things. I have heard, you know, interestingly enough, I have not heard the first set of the symphonies, 1 through 5, live. I heard it, I think one of them, it was number 5, that I, back home in Czech Republic, I heard it live. The rest, I had to look it up online and or buy CDs to actually listen to them. Some of them are very beautiful, but they are not, maybe they don't have the same depth as, you know, the later symphonies that he has written.
How much familiarity then with other works by Dvorak, Simone, have you had the opportunity to play?
Besides the violin concerto?
I'm learning the violin concerto for the first time next season. So that'll be new to me if I haven't had the chance to play it yet. But like everyone else, I played Dvorak 9 in orchestra multiple times as a student, which, you know, yeah, it's a really fun time. But actually 9 is the only one I got to do, but maybe 3 or 4 times.
Uber drivers and everybody now, it's just there, it just plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there is the 7th that will be played with the Midland Symphony tomorrow evening, and the concert that begins at 7:30, the Dvorak 7th, will conclude the program. On the first half of the program, Dvorak's overture, My Home, and a program entitled My Homeland, as MSO music director Bohuslav Rutte pays homage to his homeland with these works by Dvorak, and also featuring, as we said, the nationalistic feel, very much the inspirational homeland influence of Sibelius, as he composed so many of his pieces with that as his bedrock, his influence, and it is certainly heard in the Violin Concerto in D minor, Opus 47, that will feature with the MSO soloist Simone Porter. Thank you both very much for taking the opportunity to join us. A wonderful program that will bring many different textures and colors, but that sense of home as the home tug of California versus some of the stops in the Midwest and the weather of which we spoke. But a real delight to have both of you here. Thank you so much, and a wonderful program for both of you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.